podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Could have oh fucking kid with the score that I put up this week. God.
I mean, you're shitting this morning. How good did that smell? How good did your shit smell this morning?
Oh my
God. You just like lifted the lid and put your head in the toilet bowl to smell it. It was so good.
It's just so comical when like these random weeks happen where just like me and you are DMing. We're not even in Fest and Discord because it's just too much of a cesspit and every game's on fucking Peacock. And I'm just like, what? Pow scored? Like, what? Like, this thing happened? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, how am I getting these points? All in all, it's just like, holy fucking shit, I'm flying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially because, I mean, half your team blanked and you still got 91
half
points.
Half my team blanked.
Not the most common occurrence, but
I think this is the highest ever single game week rank I've had in my life. 2,740 is fucking ridiculous.
You have two weeks to savor it.
And like you said, I have Bumo blank, Colo blank, Sun blank, Holland blank, Alvarez blank. That is those things are usually not one and the same. Best game week rank of your life and five of your 11 blank. Insane. But it's good. It's feeling good. That's for sure.
I mean, you're holding strong with not wildcarding and getting the two Palace defenders has been insane.
Dude,
for
Palace.
You. Palace.
Fly Eagles fly. The good Eagles, not the NFL Eagles that can fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, we have four cleans and eight. It's pretty good.
I should just pop my team up, I guess, while we're talking about it. But yeah, that's the team this week. 90 fucking 1 points. Bruno D'Amato, easy. And everything else just fell in place. Captain Mo.
Didn't start Turner again, thank God.
Didn't start Turner, even though he did clean. Powell. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
ridiculous week.
We hold all Raz. Pow, you're just, everything came in.
We fucking hold Raz.
Mo, 15, double.
Easy.
Double 15 equals 30. Good.
Easy.
Good job by you. Good job by you, buddy.
Great job by me. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Flying. I went from 2,096,000 to 201,000.
Is that good?
1.9 million up.
Damn.
Seems good. Let's pull up Faith in Nurgesson here.
Still hasn't been in the squad yet.
Team Walsh. He still hasn't even been on the bench?
No, zero bench appearances. That's the first thing I check every time the Palace graphic is shown. I look at the bench to see Ferguson hasn't been there.
Remind me, has he ever played?
I think he's played like 10 minutes.
Wow. Like, you know what's crazy? When you type in Nathan,
Producer Nathan comes
F on FBref. It doesn't even autofill Nathan Ferguson. That's how made up of a player he is.
What if you type Faith in N?
Faith in Ferguson, then it comes up. Yeah, fail teams or something. That's fucking crazy.
Oh,
yeah, he's played one match in the Premier League for Palace. It was in 2021 season, and he played 9 minutes.
That was close.
Since then, he's just played in the PL2, and he's barely even touched 400 minutes in the PL2 in
like
fucking
F1, F2.
3 years. Yeah, like it's this guy is just insane.
I love him
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, he's great. How'd the team do this week though? Yeah, I mean, you still had a good week.
No, it was not good. It was bad.
I mean, you had a nice big green, right?
I don't know. Captain Sun, I got 57 points. I'm pretty bad.
You had a million place screen, by the way.
It doesn't feel like anything. But, you blank cap, and that's how it goes. You know, just kind of trying to mask over the failties there. But it could have been worse. Could have kept Holland like a fucking monsoon. At least I didn't do that. At least I didn't do that, baby.
It just... Yeah, obviously I scored a billion points, so it doesn't seem good. But compared to everyone else, this is really good. I mean, having Mo is still a differential. You know, you got a Darwin return. Having Matto, still good. You got six. Having fucking Vandeven 15 is huge. Dude, we're it's fucking just, gods with the Vandeven POW goals, by the way.
These are the differences, though. It's like, when you captain blank, you're not going to really have a big week, period.
I mean,
you
up a million is whatever. Like, it's early in the season. Your rank was already terrible. I agree with you. It's not like, oh my God, you had some fucking amazing week. And yeah,
I mean, so I'm getting seven or eight more points. It's not.
Yeah, you limit your ceiling, but it's still a good week. Like, it's still a productive, good week, heading in the right direction, good picks.
You're trying you got to sell me magic beans.
I'm not. I'm really
you're
not.
You're a magic bean salesman right now.
I mean, picks said, how does it feel to be the 4.5 defender whisperers? Because we both are. And then Slim Charles said, why are you guys so good at picking defenders? Can we get some tips? I mean, historically, we might be the best in the world at just picking 1% on 4.5 defenders. We've done this for 8 years now.
Like, every year. This is where we make our money, for sure.
Yeah.
No one not else good at 5.5 midfielders. Not good at that.
Fucking 5 million keepers? I can get fucked. I'm a nightmare. But like, no one else even thinks about this position. And me and you always have a couple differentials that no one owns. And they're just great. I mean, even the start of the season, Rico Henry, Gehi, like, great. You know, and then we're POW, great. Vandeven, great. Just keeps happening over and over again. Good job by us.
Yeah. I think there, I mean, it's just, you have to kind of read things between the lines. And obviously, there's so much luck involved in these types of things, but
so
it's a combination of, I mean, we actually use transfers on defense. I think a lot of people kind of try to shy away from that. And when you are able to get the 4 or 5 defenders for the mini good fixture runs, I mean, that's when they tend to get points, right? So that's sort of, that goes hand in hand.
Self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit there, right? It's like, if you use transfers on 4 or 5s, then you should do better on your 4 or 5s because you're actually spending resources to make it better.
Right. And, you know, it does take, I mean, I think that's where it helps us, you and I, because we watch so much. And, you know, we do get a good sense of teams and individual players and what we think is going to happen with the defenses. And we spend a lot of time on that. So, you know, it does take also, you know, going to the second page of the defender. You know, you're not just looking at the top 10 or 15 point scores and like, oh, this guy's 4 or 5 or 4 or 6. I can afford him. Just get him in. Like, you have to think about it, right? So, so it's a lot of things like that. So, it's fun. A lot of
things like that.
It's funny. Yeah,
captaincy was obviously split this week. I mean, the elite teams, Sun 62%, Mo 24%, Haaland 8%. Yeah, it was all over the place. I think we'll talk more about the Spurs game later. Let me do, I forgot to do league updates. We're doing a weird daytime pod, so I'm a little out of my rhythm. Oh, wait, first, before league updates, I got to do September mug winners. We can do it last pod yet because of the double game week. So I got to shout out the mug winners. First place, Nikki Blair, aka the Mask of Poro. Second place, Blake Matthew, aka Yank FC. And third place, Corbin Poole, aka Chill FC. I'll message all of you for the details, you know, so I can ship a mug out to you ASAP. Great fucking job by you. And now, let's see the mug league leaders for October so far. Oh, first place. This is going to save us a ton on shipping. Oh, it might be me. Let's fucking go. Easy mug this month. Fucking free mug for me. Second place, Simon Bibby, aka the Mighty Bibs. Also tied for second, Lucas Burns, aka Burns. And third place, Alex Krupiak, aka Chelsea's Back, baby, which is interesting. Interesting, team name by you. And public league leader, Stefan Hofseth, aka, I don't know how to say that. I'm not going to try. Good job by everyone there. Where would you like to begin?
Well, you want us to go with Spurs? I think there is an interesting conversation we could have about just the captaincy this week and, you know,
Let's talk about that.
We're going to have a lot of similar weeks in the next, like, 6 game weeks. So I think nailing this down and being consistent in how you process and pick is going to be important here. So So how did it, you know, what do you see here? How did it go? How was our process behind our decisions? Like, why did you end up on Moa? I ended up on Sun. Let's go through it.
Well, the cheap sort of answer is I think that we were both kind of right. I mean, like, first 10, 15 minutes, if you had Rich or Captain Sun, and you're just so unlucky. Like, Rich should have braced. You know, Poro should have scored his big chance, which would have been a Sun assist. Sun had a couple of chances, but even more to the point is floodgates, right? Like, if they make it 2-0 in the first 15 minutes, that could be 5, right? Like, that is everything that we may have been a little bit worried about, maybe me more than you worried about, would have been thrown out the window completely, completely different game. Sun's probably the best captain, right? Like, it's almost like, to check your process, you have to say, okay, me personally, right? Like, I'm a little more Mo. I think it's going to be a more open game. You know, I don't love Spurs against the low block. But if you also had told me in the 6th minute, Spurs make it 1-0, I'm capping Sun. I mean, no fucking shot. Like, I would have, that would have been a way more than enough to elevate me to cap Sun over Mo, just knowing that the game is, oh, okay. Yeah, they're getting going early. Sun's probably involved in that first goal anyway. Like, that's enough for me. But then chances are missed sometimes. You know, that happens all the time. And
especially when Rich is in the team.
Especially when Rich and Poro are the two guys getting the chances, yeah. And not Sun and Matto, right? And so then that's why I said, like, we're both kind of right. Because after that first flurry, I mean, they just didn't create shit. I think, like, Van de Ven chance was actually the next best chance they created. And that was, like, the 60th minute or something. And, like, yeah. Sun couldn't get involved in the game at all. He wasn't getting shots. He wasn't really getting involved. Luton actually had some decent chances after the Van de Ven goal. And, obviously, the red card, you know, fucked up Spurs. And they kind of subbed all their guys off and just played defense for the last 30 minutes of the game. So, in a sense, I think we were both right. I don't know if we learned, well, you can always trust Mo more because of the 90 minutes, because they're always all out attacking. I don't know. The red card kind of just changed that, right? Like, what does the second half look like if they're at 11 men? Hard to say, you know?
Yeah. I think the just walking away from it with what is Luton, you know, yeah, like you mentioned, the first 15 minutes was just flurry, complete destruction. And then Luton sort of caught up to speed and were able to do some, sort of nullify a little bit. And, you know, Spurs maybe just kind of dropped off a little bit. I mean, I thought Matto, I thought, was one of the worst players on the pitch in that game.
Until the goal.
Generally, yeah, the goal, he had a nice action and movement on the goal. But broadly, pretty much every forward pass he attempted was either overcooked, undercooked, or to the other team.
Yeah.
And that, I thought, was the biggest issue for them and why they kind of didn't function for most of the game. And yeah, the red card, you know, I mean, how do you come to terms with the red card right after halftime? You know, you can't. And like,
I think it was right before halftime, and then he made the halftime sub of Rich, right? It just fucked everything up.
Yeah, it was a mess. And yeah, Sun definitely was, you know, quite invisible. I mean, this team clearly will never win a penalty the whole season. But I think Luton are still just bad, you know. And I did feel okay after the game, just thinking, like, you know, Luton are bad. They were bad for a long time. Spurs didn't play their best game, and you know, it was one of those. You know, like, there were the early big chances missed, and whereas in the Liverpool Brighton game, I mean, it's a penalty. It's, you know, Harvey Elliott to leave that for him is, I couldn't believe he left that for him. The game, he didn't do anything. You know, Mo didn't really do much of anything. You know, he made a couple passes, but broadly speaking, you know, it's not like he was just getting chance after chance either.
No.
You know,
the volume wasn't there, but the actual quality of the chances was there. You know, like, he had a lot of
it was a pen and a tap in.
It was basically. Yeah, it wasn't a tap, but it was a big chance. Yeah, and he had one other decent chance too, and he just happened to score him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it still was like Brighton were on top for large stretches of the game. Yeah. Like, I still prefer knowing that it's like, this team is way better than that team. Hopefully there's an early goal in, like, this can be 5 or 6 versus like, these are two really good teams playing each other. I don't know, you know, the game was more open. Definitely. I mean, the 10 men nullifies it, but the game was more open. It was more up and down, the Liverpool game compared to the Spurs game. And also, you know, things broke well for Mo. You know, I think it's more totally. As like, how do we move forward with this? You know, like, what do we do with this? Yeah, I mean,
the thing
forward?
Is, like, you know, Mo got the point. So obviously everyone's saying, oh, this was right and that was wrong. But
right.
all of his stuff came in the first half. And Liverpool kept creating chances, but Mo wasn't involved, right? Like, the right. Gravenberch was Sobo to grab. I think it was a Darwin hockey assist, right? And there was a Diaz chance, there was a Darwin chance, both from Rabo. Like, Mo really had no shouts of an attacker in return, maybe a small, you know, like one decent shot in the second half of the game. But everything yeah. came in the last 5 minutes of the first half.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know, I mean, it was a 5 minute, 10 minute period.
Yeah, you know, that's it. And yeah, Brighton yeah. Brighton do kind of do that, to be fair. Right? Like, yeah. Brighton are classic. Oh, we'll look good for 75% of the game and we'll have a complete meltdown in the other 25%. But
unless if they play Villa and they just
keep melting down.
Yeah, they were in a 90-minute state of meltdown.
Yeah, and that's kind of another wrinkle to this impossible to answer question, right? Is like, okay, Gravenberch has a fucking sitter off the post and 5 minutes after halftime or something. What happens then?
Yeah.
Right. It's 3-1. Yeah. Maybe Mo gets two more huge chances. I could see that. You know, Brighton have shown us that. Right. So that's like, you know, kind of a counter argument. But, you know, yeah. all in all, I don't think Son was a bad cap. I don't think the way the game went said you were wrong and this was bad. You know, it was so close to being a fucking demolition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have this basic same question next week with Spurs home Fulham, Holland home BHA. Week.
Right.
What are you seeing on that?
I mean, I'm sticking to my priors, I think, and as of now, I'm on Sun cap. I mean,
I'm on Holland cap.
Yeah, I was saying last week.
I don't think Fulham are that bad.
Yeah, I was saying that last week that like the low blocks have given them trouble, and you know the 10 minutes they didn't, and the 80 other minutes they did, and the teams that are open like Fulham are just the best games imaginable for both Mato and Son.
How open are they? I feel like we have a different read on Fulham, you and I.
I also try and not watch them, so you know this could be like dated information, but I do feel like they press a bit, and I do feel like Milva usually goes for it. But I could be wrong. I need to like look at data to try and support this. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, and I'll be on Holland. You know.
Okay.
Probably not Mo, which is like another funny thing is that so many people are probably like, oh, Mo just fucking hauled ass and he's home Everton. Yeah, and me and you were like, absolutely not.
That's not an option.
absolutely not.
Fulham, it's hard to get a hold of them because they're obviously bad and watching them sucks.
They're so bad.
They're bad in such different ways. Each game, they're bad in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get taken to the woodshed very often, though, except for earlier this season when they went to City and they lost 5-1. Right. Other than that, you know, it's been.
Yeah. And they've been, Leno's been really good.
Yeah. Leno's been good. And I don't think they had Polina for that game. That's correct. They did not have Polina for that game.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, is Fulham, like, to me, Fulham is just a slightly better version of Luton. And like, you know, they're just they're just bad, but their actual players across the board in every position are instead of a 4 out of 10, maybe a 5.5 out of 10,
right?
With maybe one or two exceptions. And, you know, they don't play with a complete deep low block, but also they're really compact. I mean, their lines are tight. I mean, they're not like getting shredded all over the place. I mean, there's not like space all over the pitch or something, you know, and they do tactically foul pretty well generally. And I don't know, they just seem to have a way of making it so that games don't really break out. Yeah. And I'm just worried that this is going to be a similarly bad matchup on paper and also like with Spurs, Fulham at home. And it just kind of heaters, you know. I'm just worried about that versus
I'm definitely gonna look into this a little bit over the break and see if it supports me, because I do feel like they're a more aggressive team, Fulham, than Luton. But also what you're saying rings true. Like, I feel like in the matches against the big teams, they are not a more aggressive team, or were not last year at least, right? And if that's the case, then yeah, we're gonna see the same game play out. with better players. And that's not what you want if you're capping Son, right?
Yeah. I mean, more midfielders, maybe less defenders. I mean, they can maybe be able to play through a little bit better. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's, to me, it's like, is home Fulham the same as home Luton? And I'm in like, maybe it is close enough because I'm just kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. I realize that, right? Where earlier, I'm like, well, I'm home Luton, I'm happy. Home Fulham, like, no, but Fulham sucked too. So... I don't know, you know, maybe it is that, you know, that just take the easier on paper fixture, you know, City home Brighton. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, City are, have their own little stutter going on right now.
We could also, we could go in any direction right now, but we can talk about the bad teams. We could talk about City or we could talk about Liverpool and Mo. Which one do you want to go?
What do you want? What is there to talk about Liverpool and Mo?
I don't know. They're good. I guess.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, they're,
you know,
yeah,
anyone else, Darwin, Diaz, Trent, I don't know. I guess nothing's really changed.
Yeah,
especially
I don't
with
think
the early
changed.
Kickoff after the break. Diaz and Darwin probably won't be back. It's a fucking disaster, you know, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Everton game's going to be really cagey and tough as they usually are. I think it's difficult today with 2 weeks away from the deadline because the Gakkening information is going to be important.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Darwin. Liverpool were okay, I guess. Yeah. I mean, they played, they had little 10-minute period stretches of the game where it's like, oh, they're good. But then they also just conceded possession a ton and their press seemed like a little bit not very aggressive, just sort of, they were pressing in a way to prevent.
I mean,
prevent.
That was such, it was such a weird
pressing,
game, I thought.
Yeah, it felt like they were pressing to not lose the game, but not to win the ball back. Like, they weren't swarming, but they were keeping, like, Brighton Penn back for a long time. But in terms of just creating, I don't know, I thought Darwin was very medium throughout the whole game. Didn't really, had that one headed chance, I think, right? He kind of headed high, but broadly speaking, he was sort of,
I thought his hold up and passing
was
really
good.
And
usually
you don't
good.
Associate that stuff with him, but he didn't really look like he was going to score a goal.
Yeah.
It was
Which
just
is
such
weird
a
for
weird
him.
Game. Like, I think like if people want it were get really like desperate in the international break and you want to watch like an interesting match, I mean, like rewatching this one would be super interesting. I mean, the amount of time that someone on either team in the back 4 to 6 players just was on the ball with no pressure was staggering.
Yeah.
Like they were just standing still with the ball, foot on the ball. Just like, all right, what should I do here? I'll just roll it to Dunk.
Yeah,
I'll just
Bart
roll it to
seemed to have the ball for 30 minutes of the game.
It was insane. And it was like, weirdly, it was like the respect that each team had for the other team. And it was also like the, I'm not falling for this shit from both teams, right? Like, because anytime either team was in space, they looked like they're about to create a huge chance, right? Like, Liverpool didn't have the ball for fucking 30 straight minutes in the first half, it felt like. As a fan, I was just like, if we get into half at 1-0, I'm happy. And then the 5 minutes happen, and it's like, oh, we can just score every single time we're in space. Like, that's what it felt like. It was like, this team's a mess. And they probably felt the same way at the end of the second half, right? They were just like, oh, wow, like, if March pushes up and we overlap with Matoma, like, holy shit, we can just get in whenever we want.
I think when Igor went off, things changed.
Yeah,
for the much worse for them. He looked like a bright, he was bright. And you know,
Trent also didn't attack at all this game, and Matoma never got the ball until Trent went off. And then when Trent went off, he was just turning Gomez for fun and getting in over and over again. It was just such a weird game. It was a weird game.
And Brighton seemed to very intentionally avoid that whole flank.
I
mean, they just
totally
didn't play it over there, and it seemed like they were both happy to just have them neutralize each other. And in a way of neither of them doing anything, not in the way of they're both getting in behind the other nonstop, which could have happened if either manager was like, let's do this instead.
Yeah.
But, you know, Trent was good in the spells that he had to do something, which was very few. And yeah, it was a very weird game. I agree. But, you know, moving forward, I think, you know, Darwin, I'm still sitting here with him, you know, kind of nervous.
Yeah.
And also looking at the fixtures and being like, I've just made my bed here, you know, and I need to just hope that the things happen in these easy fixtures and he gets some starts. I mean, I don't know. I mean, ask me again after three blanks and, you know, Ollie Watkins just gets 5 points or more every game and we'll see how I'm doing there. But I don't know about Trent still. I mean, at 7-9, you know, the fixtures do get easier from the clean sheets perspective, but the way this team plays with, you know, three, you know, very non-defensive midfielders, you know,
it's nothing just remotely like, close to a defensive midfielder.
It's just like, they give up big chances all the time. I don't know if $8 million is a good investment there. It's just
I mean, my opinion is that I think the defense is actually good and kind of recovered from last season's insane dip, but you can't get him in your team without getting rid of Holland, which, you know, people are asking about, and maybe people will start getting rid of him, or Mo or Son or something like that. It just doesn't exist. And then we talked about it last pod, right? It's just Trips can fucking concede 2 goals, get an assist, and he gets 2 bonus. And he's a half less. It's just ridiculous. So three weeks ago, I was like, I'm gonna want Trent, and I do want Trent, but at the sacrifices that you have to make in your team, the amount of hits you have to take to get him, just doesn't seem feasible at all.
He's also off a lot of set pieces, Trent.
Yeah, Sobo's been taking, and Rambo.
I mean, you see, look, that's why Trips gets an assist in a 2-2 game, because he takes every set piece, so every single time he fucking bonks a little floaty ball over there and nothing happens, it just pads all that shit, and when Trent doesn't have that, it makes it harder. Yep. For him to be the bonus point magnet like we've been used to in the past. I'm with you on that. You know, I agree. The defense is better. Also, you know, Fabinho did a lot of shit, you know, and they kept 20 cleans. You know, they're good. They're not keeping 20 cleans. You know, I mean, to me, like this defense, you know, if they have these defenders healthy, maybe it's in the 12, 15 region, which is still fantastic. $8 million, dude, it's just so much, you know? It's just so expensive. Much. It's so hard to make the team with him.
I know.
Having Mo
desperately
Holland,
want him, but in the pecking order, you just can't put him ahead of Trips, who, you know, Newcastle plays so defensive. He's on every set piece, yada, yada, yada. We know all the shit. And he's just so much cheaper. I mean, it's just the price is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I remember we talked about this when the prices came out. It was just like, right, like everyone, other than Mo and Holland, everyone is like $1 million to $1.5 million cheaper than we thought they'd be, except Trent.
Yeah.
It was like all these Arsenal mids, United mids, all these fucking defenders, blah, blah, blah. And then Trent's just $8 million. And it was just like, what is this? Like, he's so much more expensive than everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Holland out, though, is getting a little bit of steam.
I think it's just insane. It's insane to me.
I've seen some wildcard teams and I'm just like, this is the best team I've ever seen. Then I'm like, oh, you're missing Holland. that's what's happening. But Psychov said, are we being held hostage by Holland? Yo. Side said, what do you make of Alvarez and City with some slightly tougher fixtures ahead? Ryan said, do we transfer out Holland until Kev returns, which is fucking next year, so I don't know what that means. Feel like that final ball isn't finding its way through to him as it was last season with Gundo and Kev on the pitch. Feels like Watkins is a better investment. He actually gets on the ball. Okay. Watkins better than Holland. You heard it here first.
I mean, I don't know where these bad fixtures are. I'm looking at them right now. I don't understand how anyone reads this and says these are bad.
Well, I do, because he can't get a fucking shot. he didn't even come close to the ball against Arsenal. You know, the Forest game, forget about it. There was a red card, you know, at halftime, and they just decided to not play. But Wolves and Arsenal, he scored. I mean, I'm saying, like, that game was fine. It looks bad, and if you look at the stats, but that's because they were down to 10 in the second half. But Wolves and Arsenal, I mean, he has one combined shot in 2 games. City create nothing in 2 games. It's just, like, a little bit dippy, but I'm personally holding him, and it sounds like you are, too.
Yeah, it just to me doesn't make any sense. Again, we've been talking about this more like since last year. Just don't captain him. You know, I mean, you're exposing yourself in a way of, you know, City could look bad for a game or two and then score 5 the next game. And we have no idea when that's going to happen. We have no idea when Pep's going to change the instructions to like stop trying a 1-0 and just go do all the things. You know, they change so many times within a season. Yeah. You can't even keep track. You know, it's just so mind-blowing to figure out, you know, what he's trying to do and when and why. You know, it's not possible. All I know is this is the best team in the league, and the only bad fixtures they have really are against Arsenal and kind of maybe Liverpool sometimes, and maybe. That's it.
And well, Spurs, they lose to Spurs every year.
Yeah, they lose to Spurs for fun. That's true. Forgot about that one. I just don't captain him. You know what I mean? Just don't captain him, you know, and I think that you're just going to be doing fine there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. I get it. You know, like, I understand you're going for it. You're going on wild card. You love your team. Like, it's almost like you get that, like, fucking in your head of that team that you can make without him. And it's just hard to, like, sleep at night because you're just like, man, I want all these guys that now I can't get if I put him back in. It feels so bad. But, yeah, I mean, best team every year since, you know, since Pep's first year in the Prem. Best manager of the last fucking, before we started watching football, right? Best manager of the generation. I think they're going to figure it out. Like, I don't think that two bad attacking games is enough for me to just be like, City are fucking done. Home Brighton, good attacking fixture. At Man United, good attacking fixture. Home Bournemouth, unbelievable attacking fixture.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I can't tell you. And we still, again, you know, this is beating a dead horse, but I think it is worth saying out loud again. He is a flat track bully. You know, that is what he has been since he arrived. And you look at his game log, and the West Ham game is a little bit up and mixed to interpret, because he did score one goal, could have had a hat trick in that game.
Could have had nine.
But, you know, he's getting his returns against bad teams, and he's not getting returns against good teams. You know, blanked against Newcastle, blanked against Arsenal, blank at Wolves, which was a very odd one at Molineux, and then he returned in every other game against bad teams, you know, and that's who he is. And that doesn't mean he's in a blank every game against bad teams, or, you know, the 6th to 10th place team.
Yeah.
He could still get a return or a double return in any of those games. It just, you know, you just don't have to captain him, but I think you're just exposing yourself so much by not owning him. It's just not worth it. It's not, I think the clever play is, again, not captaining him. If this is how you feel, just don't captain him.
Yeah.
And that's that.
I mean, like you said, it's hard to predict, right? Away matches also are way tougher, right? I mean, there's a reason that Mourinho's blueprint was draw away, win at home. I mean, even last City barely won their away games against the top teams, and they won the fucking treble. And they're like one of the best teams ever. Yeah. You know, and they, if you look even at the teams he's about to play, Manchester United and Brighton, away Brighton, they drew 1-1, Haaland blanked. Away Manchester United, they lost 2-1, Haaland blanked. Home Brighton, he braced. Home Man United, he hat-tricked and 2 assists. He quintuple returned.
Yeah.
We just got to relax. Away Arsenal, you know, no one played in that game. There was actually no football occurring in North London at that time. So how could a football player score if there was no football match?
Can't. Yeah, big brain, 5-head brain, whatever.
10-head.
Yeah, but it's clear to me. I mean, it's, you know, home Bournemouth, auto cap, game week 11, you know, at Man United.
Ridiculous.
No, that's a mo cap. Brighton this week, questionable cap.
Maybe.
I think neck and neck with Sun cap. And then at Chelsea, don't cap. Home Liverpool, don't cap. And then we'll see at home Spurs what we feel and think about at that point.
Yeah, right.
It's just, you know,
Yeah.
And I just don't subscribe. Like, well, if you're only captaining him once, you know, in the next 4 game weeks, then why own him? Because that doesn't mean he's not going to score points in the games you don't captain him. You know, he could very well score points in those games. And, you know, that's an issue for you.
So. Right. And I thought that this was the lesson that a lot of us learned with Kane last season. And that's part of the reason why I started with Mo this season, right?
Right.
You don't have to captain these guys every week for them to be good. Points are really good.
Yeah. And Alvarez, I think, is still also just a steady hold.
Steady, easy hold.
Yeah.
Easy
hold. Not even, no reason to even consider removing him whatsoever for me.
No. Rodri will be back.
Yeah.
You know, Jack's back. You know, they're going to be fucking fine, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Wolves, I don't know. You mentioned that the weirdness of that Wolves game, and I agree, it was weird. And they've kind of like played to the level of the competition every game this season almost, but fucking Huanger and Neto just keep hauling points. And Jitterbug said, are Huang and Neto real? They have decent attacking fixtures coming up. Fossey said, talk Wolves to me. Is Huang an enabler pick? Two of the next three look good. And Huang somehow is on 5 goals in 400 minutes. He like doesn't even start half the games. But Neto just seems like actually we were a year early on Neto. He wasn't fully recovered from his injury, and he's now the player that we thought he was, basically.
Yeah, I'm still just not in love with how he gets his points, you know. And
you mean like, you know, dribbling 60 yards and beating three guys every game?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he and having to pass and rely on, you know, Huang, Chan to continue scoring goals, like, I don't, or whatever, own goal assists kind of shit, you know. I mean, he's not really getting any bonus points. He doesn't shoot very much, and he's playing wing for a really bad team. You know, he's 5'7", so what are you expecting? You know, yeah, this is as good as it gets, 4'5'7". My issue is, again, as we've been touching on with him, and I just want to vacate the bracket entirely. And if I am going to go cheap on a spot, you know, I think Cole Palmer definitely threw his hat into the ring after, you know, slotting a pen and looking good the last couple of games. I know their fixtures are getting tougher, and I think Suchek is worth talking about, honestly.
I mean,
watching them more closely lately, since deal? I have three of their players all of a sudden.
Yeah, you're like he's a just, fucking hammer.
Yeah, I mean, he's just doing a lot of striking, and he's doing very little defending. You know, I mean, he's just playing in the role that he played in when he scored every goal, every game a few years ago when he came. Like, he's just not having to sit anymore. I mean, Rice was allowed, you know, last couple seasons to kind of do those forays. Edson doesn't do shit. I mean, he was fucking horrible in the Newcastle game, but he doesn't go anywhere.
Might be a problem for a soup.
Yeah, for double defense, whatever. But I mean, Suchek is just like free. You know, he just kind of had a free role, and he was marauding all over the place, and he's 4'9". So, you know, I think going down even there is like, okay, worth it to me, you know. But
look at this fucking shot map.
Yeah, I mean, come on,
what the fuck is that?
That's what I'm telling you, dude. He's fucking playing striker again,
and they're not even all headers anymore.
They're open play.
That's what I'm saying,
dude. That's what I'm saying. That's the pick. Like, he's the pick I want, or Palmer, you know, with pens. I still think
JWP is better than Neto too. I still think he's just going to steady tick. He's like, that much more expensive,
0.5.
Right?
I mean, 0.5 is not nothing.
It's not nothing, yeah. But like, if you're talking about, I assume people who are getting Neto are using him as an enabler to get someone else expensive, right? Whether that's Trips or Mo or Son or whatever, right? And so therefore, you're probably relying on this player to start every game. Give me JWP. Like, JWP, you could just get him, and you're like, I have him for the next 20 game weeks. I have him until my second wild card, and you're fine. I think you're totally fine. Neto can just blank for 5 games in a row, and that would be really unsurprising. And you just be like, well, you got a Wolves winger.
Yeah, what'd you expect? You know, for the best as could be behind him. And we could just be wrong for a long time. We both love the player. I mean, I started with him last year, and that obviously famously went very poorly for me, but
and everyone.
Yeah, everyone else who joined me in that. But you know, yeah, they have Bournemouth and Sheffield United, two of the next three. You know, they have Fulham coming up. They have, you know, a lot of road games. Which,
every,
you know,
other game is a fucking banger, actually. They have Bournemouth and Newcastle. They have Sheffield and Spurs. They have Fulham, then Arsenal. They have Burnley, NFL. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fine. He's a fine pick. I agree. I would prefer to have JWP. If you can't get JWP, you know, I would go down looking, you know, see what I could get with another million going to Palmer or Suchek maybe, but yeah, Neto is just fine. You know, he's just fine.
Yeah, the thing I'm kind of like doubling back a little bit on my takes, because I do think that the schedule this season matters more than I can remember it mattering any other season. Meaning, Sheffield United are one of the worst teams I think we've ever seen. And statistically, they definitely are. That's a fact. But like, also performances and players. They're like you can like captain anyone against them. They just lose 3-0 every game. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. Doesn't matter
what happens. What about it when it's City?
What, are they playing Sheffield soon?
They barely beat them. It was 1-1 going into stoppage. Remember that game? Are you kidding me? That was awful. He missed a pen or something?
Exactly that. That's what it takes. Is like missing sitters and pens is like the only way they're in the game and own goals. That's the only way they've been in any game.
But where are you like, just saying this because Wolves are playing them soon? Or I'm saying this in
the sense of like also Luton are bad. Burnley are just as bad. Bournemouth have been just as bad.
Wolves and drew like, Burnley 1-1.
What?
Wolves drew against Luton 1-1.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but you know what?
Wolves are bad. Wolves are bad.
No, I know, but also Neto scoring on Max Bones.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, what I'm saying is, like, I think that, like, the strength of schedule should be factored in maybe a little bit more this season than we have in the past.
That's
and the fact that Wolves have Bournemouth, Sheffield, Fulham, Burnley, all very, you know, in every other game, maybe that should matter more than like it has in the past. Like maybe those games are just so ridiculous and good, you know, that it should matter more. Is there something I'm playing with in my head?
Yeah. Well, then then I'm back to wanting to rotate the player, you know, and not have to start him again, you know, because, okay, those are good fixtures, but are you going to be holding from 9 to 16 to get those few plum fixtures when he has Newcastle, Spurs, Arsenal? Like, that's to me, it's just, that's not good. You know, that.
Yeah, maybe you can rotate with a 4-5 defender or something weird like that.
I mean, I see a lot of like Mitoma with him, you know. You just have to remember, you know, these are wingers. You know, they're fucking wingers. They play far over on the side of the pitch for the vast, vast majority of the game.
Yeah.
And we've seen Mitoma have some inside runs where he's getting some chances in and around the penalty spot. But, you know, Neto's shots are bad from far away. He takes you down to the byline, you know, so he's getting some assist and own goal opportunities with his low, flat, very fast, hard crossing. But those are just picks that I do get worried about.
Yeah.
Generally.
I think that's fair. I mean, thus far his numbers are good. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I did want to get that scheduled point out there, I think,
because it's
hard to wrap the head around, right? It's like a perfect example, I think, is this week Manchester United, right? Like, I obviously sold Bruno. Manchester United are obviously playing terribly. They look bad. The vibes are bad. The injuries, yada, yada, yada. They're at Sheffield this week. I mean, I expect them to score 3. Like, if you were one of those types of teams that just has Rashford for some reason, you've had, like, other fires to put out, like, I'm not selling him. And it's the exact same with me keeping Raz, right? And Raz has looked good, so maybe it's not a like for like, but, like, Chelsea have been a disaster in 4 games straight or something before Burnley. And they play Burnley and they just score 4. And it's just like if Nico Jackson scores, you know, it's just like ridiculous game against a, you know, opponents that just aren't at this level, you know. So, yeah,
I'm not sure about that one.
Hold your Man United assets for 1 more week and then transfer.
I'm not sure. I mean, that's a tough one for me to stomach because, you know, we said the same thing before Burnley. You know, barely score a goal. Right? I mean, Rashford's blank 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bruno's
obviously better than Rashford, but
they're all bad. And Bruno's defense, none of them are good.
Terrible game, you know, 10-pointer against Burnley. Scores the winner. Scores a worldie.
He scored the one shot, and that was great for him. But, you know, broadly speaking, yes, it's going to be difficult to sell anyone ahead of Sheffield United, no matter how bad you look.
Yeah.
He's, you know, Reed, Man United. But,
yeah,
you know, 2 weeks is a long time, so we'll have to see, you know, the kind of state of affairs as the deadline approaches. But, yeah, I think it's like you're talking about with the schedule. It's just, I think it makes it that much more important to not generalize and not look at, oh, well, this guy has this many points so far, therefore, you know, when you're looking at, you have to look at where did they get their points? Who are they playing? Right. You know, what am I doing here? Because, yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, noisy data return because Luton, Sheffield, I mean, Burnley, these teams that are just incapable and incompetent are so bad that doesn't mean that the guy that hauls against them is a good pick or a good player.
Exactly.
And you have to separate the two. Raz.
Chelsea have had the easiest schedule in the league. They've played Luton, NFO, Bournemouth, Fulham, Burnley, all fucking nightmares. He 19-pointer triple returns against Luton, blanks against Forest, blanks against Bournemouth, has the shits against Fulham, and 16-pointer triple returns against Burnley. Like, probably not a good pick. Like, he should probably leave your team as the fixtures get really hard. But, like, he is proving that going by fixtures is useful because he had two hauls in that stretch.
Yeah. Agreed.
Interesting. Agreed.
Yep.
Guys said we're nearing a quarter of the season done. Are there some, is that true?
I don't know.
I guess we're kind of close. Yeah. He said nearing a quarter of the season done. Are there some strong priors we need to reassess? Big macro question there.
Yeah, I think we've been continually doing that. I think we've been doing a pretty good job of that. I mean, we've touched on, you know, our changing of views of Man United ad nauseum. I think Arsenal, maybe we don't spend as much time talking about. But yeah, you know, that this is a team that's hasn't lost a game, you know?
Yeah.
Have fairly underpriced assets for FPL, and yet none of them feel great. I don't know. They're in some very bizarre world right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been having some injuries seemingly every week. Someone new gets injured. The lack of consistency in the team maybe is something that's difficult to catch up with. But Arsenal almost require, you know, a bi-monthly, you know, reassessment.
Yeah, I know.
What's their schedule for the next 2 weeks? Like, is there Europe? Is there not? Who's fit? Who's available? And go from there. What else are you seeing? Anything else?
No, I like that one a lot. And Arsenal, I just want to remind people, they have a scenic run starting in game week 10. So, like, I'm definitely looking at them, right? They mixed in there. They have an at Newcastle, at Brentham, not great, but aforementioned.
Brentham is great. Stop. You have to stop with this.
It's not.
They're bad.
They're mid-table, and that's not a great fixture. It just never has been for anyone. Except Scott McTominay.
Okay. It's okay.
It's not something that you look at and you're like, wow, I need to get their players. But they have home Sheffield, home Burnley, home Wolves at Luton.
Yeah.
That's something where I'm like, I need Saka, you know, assuming he's fit by game week 10. Martinelli's on the radar. You know, Jesus is on the radar. I think defenders are very on the radar, right? Like Zinchenko is playing, looking back to his old self. And White is actually attacking, you know, like getting max bones and shit like that. Even in games when he doesn't return against Man City. Arsenal's time is going to come soon. And then hopefully, you know, that the good fixtures bring some more consistency.
Yeah. And Raya's in, which, you know, love that. From an everything perspective. I mean, Gabrielle's 4-7. I mean, I think you don't look further than that. If you want an Arsenal defender, he's very much back in the first team after the whole saga that was going on preseason and shit.
And he played great.
Yeah,
him and Saliba were both great.
Yeah, they're back to doing whatever. And I agree. Yeah, I think having a defender is a nice option coming up. And Saka, Odegaard, Jesus, you know, they're all going to be Martinelli Odegaard probably.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all probably going to be picks again soon. So, yeah, we'll see after this Chelsea game, you know, and they have home Sheffield United very brightly right there. You know, we'll have to see and do kind of a gut check to see what we're doing there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyone else reassessing? I mean, not that much, I don't think.
I think Villa have been interesting. You know, West Ham, definitely we've been a lot more glowing on them compared to last year.
Yeah, definitely.
Which you know, going into the season, it was difficult to tell because they didn't do all their business till really late. So
Yeah, Kudus, but, you know, JWP. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a big surprise. I'm trying to just think of other things that haven't borne out. Based on what we kind of were talking about, you know,
Chelsea,
game week
obviously
one or there
have been
around.
Very disappointing, and now they have a tough run, so like no one should be anywhere near their picks.
Yeah,
Colwell's probably just gonna be like second or third on my bench for 2 months now.
Yeah, I mean Brentham, you know, tongue in cheekily, right? As I'm saying, they're bad, but they are bad. You know, they're much lower than anyone really thought they should or would be at this point in the season. Sure, you know, Tony, blah, 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 but everyone's like, oh, they buy well. There's a good manager. They know what they're doing. I mean, they just, They've won one game. They've won literally one game this year.
It is
shocking.
Funny with the Tony thing.
And they haven't had a hard fixture run.
Yeah, but the Tony thing, it's like, I can't really think of another example. I'm sure Bill Simmons has some term for whatever this is. It's not Ewing theory, but it's some other, it's like the opposite of Ewing theory. But, you know, after those first 3-4-ish games, it was just like, Tony who? Right? Like, that was the narrative, right? It was just like, Wissa's scoring, Bumo's scoring every game. Like, they're, you know, they haven't lost yet. Like, they look good, blah, blah, blah. But, man, they would do anything for Tony in the last 4 games. Like, nothing they need more than their best player. And it
he's their best player.
It catches up to you. You know, it's the type of thing that catches up to you, right?
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, they haven't bought well. You know, they've bought really badly. KLP looks like that was maybe just they lit money on fire. Shada looks like, okay, he's fine.
I think Shada was kind of having like a breakout. I think he was actually looking incredible. And then
he played 3 games. I don't know. Yeah. No, I mean, the injury, sure.
He looked amazing.
You know, maybe
though.
There's something going. Yeah. He's probably,
and then, you know, the Rico injury really hurt. That really hurt them. Yeah. They're starting fucking Rorslev and Hickey at wingbacks. Yeah. It's just like not the same.
Well, yeah. I mean, their depth is being tested and it's bad. And, you know, I mean, Damsgaard.
Well, also the keeper.
He hasn't done anything. Yeah, the keeper, the Fleckening looks completely
wrong. Ryan Flecken is historic.
I mean, Strakosha was better than Fleckening. That was a better goalkeeping performance than I've seen from Flecken all year. Flecken. Terrible.
Just saying, like, they're both terrible. I'm not trying to say one's better than the other. I mean, like, they're just like, Sharkosh was just parrying everything away, like, into the box. Like, he's just like,
he got worse as the game progressed. But
yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah. You know, they're just, I think that, but that again, right? I think we have to reassess this. Like, yes, first 4 games, unbeaten. Last 4 games, you know, a draw and 3 losses. Beaten badly.
First 4 games unbeaten.
And last again, you beaten. Know, their fixtures have been really easy. You know, they've played Spurs, Fulham, Palace, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Everton, NFO, Man United.
I think it's basically middling-ish, right? They had the home Spurs at Newcastle and Man United are, you know, the harder side. And then they had 5 winnable ones. So yeah, a slightly easier than normal, but
haven't played Liverpool, haven't played Arsenal, haven't played City. You know, I mean, so I mean, they're in for a longer season, I think.
But they also haven't played any of the promoted sides.
Sure.
So that goes hand in hand, you know. But they don't. They play Burnley this week. I'm holding Bumo. But they don't play Luton until 14. They don't play Sheffield until 16. They blank in 18. I don't even fucking remember that happening. They have a blank in 18. But
I mean, to me, it's... You definitely don't want to have Bumo game week 10. I mean, that's Chelsea, Western, Liverpool, 10, Arsenal. You know, you hope that Burnley
has been
and they
very,
score a few.
Very nice to me. So I'm going to hold for Burnley and then, move on. Yeah.
And that, you know, is also that no reassessment there. I mean, we were on that preseason that they are going to get heavily beaten the most from the promoted sides. And that's been true so far.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, you know, so I think we've kind of been maybe like a little half and half on our hits and misses on some stuff here.
And it's still really early. Yeah. Side said, what are your top 3 defenses for the next 5 or so, given form and fixtures? So, I mean, just who are you bringing in, I guess, is basically what he's asking. Defenders?
Yeah. I mean, I think the most difficult one to read here is Villa, because they certainly have the fixtures. You know, I mean, home West Ham isn't great, but then they have Luton, NFO, Fulham, Spurs, also not great, but then Bournemouth. So they have 4 really good, cleanable fixtures.
They're on the list. That's for
sure.
They're
on the list. You know, they have 4 really good, cleanable fixtures in the next 6. And also, they look like they can't keep a clean sheet against, you know, a team from France. I don't even know what they do. So that's one you need to check in deep within yourself. West Ham also definitely in this conversation. You know, they got the Newcastle game out of the way, which we haven't talked about. I guess I won't really want to, but then they have Villa, Everton, Brentham, NFO, Burnley, Palace, Spurs, Fulham, Wolves, Man United home. So, I mean, they have a pretty long, good run. So I think they're a team that you consider. And Arsenal, you mentioned, right?
Yeah, Arsenal are very, very high on my list. Higher than either of those two. The weird thing about West Ham and Villa so far is, and West Ham have conceded the third most non-penalty actually in the league. The only teams worse than them are Bournemouth and Sheffield so far. And Villa are like 14th. The only teams are all the bad teams that we literally just mentioned. They're right next to Brighton, and you know, at like 14th to 15th or something like that.
So fixtures need to be considered there, though. We've talked
statistically
about this.
It's been kind of bad, but yeah, I think the thing with Villa that we've seen is like they got fucking railed in a few games where they were just overmatched. So you're hoping that in a similar way to Newcastle before their run, good run, right, where they've been keeping cleans regularly. You're hoping that the good fixtures, they can tighten up and just like have more control and not concede big chances. West Ham, I don't know what to do with them. They're like good-ish and they have some good players and attackers, but like, I don't know. I just don't see many cleans in this team.
Yeah, they remind me a lot of the Wolves of yesteryear, the Nuno team, when they would just concede one. You know, I mean, it's just like, God damn it, you know? The one thing they do have going for them, Areola is incredible. So
yeah, I like them.
They do have that going for them. But yeah, I mean, they just have these moments each game where it's just
Aguerd.
Like, yeah, they're just all over the show, you know, where they have these sequences where you just look at them and it's like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, and that is certainly problematic. But, you know, the fixtures are good and they do have a good 11, you know?
Yep.
So I still just feel like, you know, we need to give them this little period to know what they are because, you know, no, they haven't cleaned very much, but they gave up a goal against Luton, which makes their overall look a lot worse. That was that was Luton's first game at home too, which was very unlucky for them to have faced them in that moment. But their fixtures, dude, are insane. They've played Newcastle, Liverpool, City.
You have to say that though.
It's been Newcastle, Liverpool, City, Brighton, Chelsea, like. They play the top, you know, they play like really tough top attacks. So,
yeah, I mean, like Opta or whatever the fuck this is says they've had the fifth hardest schedule so far in the season, which is, you know, pretty fucking hard. Yeah. But that said, I would just rather have the teams that are putting up the good numbers, the better teams who have not as good fixtures, but still have good fixtures, right? I would rather have Arsenal. I would rather have Newcastle because I'm just like, they're better. I have more faith in them keeping cleans, etc. But yeah, four, right? I mean, there's unfortunately for Konate, he's just obviously not nailed. Matip is starting all the games because there's a 4-9 starter for Liverpool. We just don't know who it is because they would also be on this list for, you know, the short term fixtures, but they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably about it. I don't think you have to look further than that.
Yeah. I haven't thought about another defender, really.
Yeah.
Speaking of Fleck, Pick said a bit more serious question. What do we do with the Fleckening disaster?
Fleckening disaster?
I mean, he had a virus?
I don't know. They said he's out for a month. Maybe he got like
a
fucking...
A month?
He's out for a month with illness, undisclosed illness. I mean, maybe he was just fucking... I don't know. He got something... Gnarly. Maybe he has like malaria.
Bacterial infection or some shit.
Maybe he has mono. He's out for a week or a month or something. I don't know what's up with him, but yeah, seriously. I mean, you obviously get rid of him, you know, assuming you don't have a goalkeeper, you know, but that also hasn't, I haven't seen very many teams with Flecken and a non player. I mean, everyone has Turner
or Areola, right?
Yeah. So is that worth a transfer? You know, I don't know. It depends on the rest of your team. Yeah, probably not. I mean, Turner, Luton coming up home. Then it gets bad, you know, and you're not really expecting a clean from them ever. You know, look, NFO is a team that's going to keep 7 cleans, like at the most this year, probably something in that region. They're going to be bottom for the
non. Okay. And at the same time, there's so many mistakes in the team.
Yeah. I mean, outside of the 3 promoted teams, I mean, I would expect NFO to be last in clean sheets of the rest of the teams. You know, you don't want to be there. That said, you know, does that mean you're going to have to like hold Rashford in a bad run or instead of getting a forward who could get 15 points or hold Bumo in a bad run instead of getting a midfielder Rashford's case, like instead of getting a midfielder to score 50 points, you know, that's down to the squad, but
yeah.
Yeah.
so far this season, he's been by a very large margin worst keeper in the league in terms of like shots. I mean, goals conceded versus XG, like the post shot XG.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Like not even remotely close. Bad for him.
How about all those Fuckford holders finally getting their points? Wow, they're so
the funniest so thing is that for them most all. Of the Pickford holders wildcarded this week.
Good.
And got them out of their team.
Get absolutely fucked.
It's awesome. I love it. Great pick. Love that. Great player, great pick.
Yep.
Yeah, Harley Boys asked about initial captain this week, so we kind of discussed that already. We'll obviously be back in, you know, 10 days for Patreon Friday My Life episode. We'll talk about it a lot more then. Bouncy's good.
Yeah, the one thing on that too, that I mean, the 75-minute thing from Sun is a big T, capital T tilt. You know, I mean, it seems to literally not matter what's going on in the game. It's like you can only play 75 minutes every
year. Yeah. It's really bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. It's really bad. No other way to say it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's really bad. Does that make Matto? Like, is that stupid?
Well, Matto also got subbed off, but he obviously has more minutes in him, but like barely, right? Seems, like how many more 90s has Matto played? Like one?
I mean, he just flogs Kulu and then he subs everyone else.
Kulu every game. Is just like,
gets no points, gets every minute. That's all he does this year.
Yeah. Fitness monster Kulu. Yeah.
And I would have thought, you know, he's someone that needs to be heavily managed because like he seems to always get injured, but not this year. Also,
based
know.
On how slowly he runs, I thought like this guy must never be fit, but I guess he's fit. But yeah, I mean, it's not hard math to do, but like, you know, people like myself always look at per 90, you know, FBRF rightly shows per 90, but Sun really, his numbers need to be adjusted to per 70. Yeah. And he's not, I don't care, he's putting up half an XG per 90. He doesn't play a 90. Yeah. It's probably more like a third of an XG in reality.
Per game.
Per start or something.
Per game.
Yeah. Balci said, Diaby, no international football. Does that make him the better 7 million mid? Do I do Foden to Diaby? Well, did you watch this game?
No.
I didn't watch this game either. I did see that he did absolutely nothing and got subbed on 60. And he didn't like create a chance, didn't have a shot. But he might have just not been fit. I don't really know.
I don't see buying him. I think if you have him, you're stuck. Before, West Ham's not a good fixture. I mean, West Ham, that game, Kuno. Tell me anything. That game could be a low draw score. You know, I mean, that could... But West Ham's a good team. You know, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're a decent team. They can't really defend.
I think that's unfair to say because, you know, they've played the best teams in the league so far, and I don't class Villa in that category, especially away. Villa away is much different than Villa at home. Yeah. So Villa, they do have them at home. Okay, I'm seeing it backwards. I just don't see West Ham as like, I want to get them for this fixture. You know, Luton, yeah, sure.
No, you're buying them for the long haul, but like, you know, a lot of people have Raz like me, you know, and he'll be in my mind, right? Like, because you're not getting him for one game week. You know, it's like, I'm not like getting him to captain him against West Ham or something. I'm getting him for the run, but, you know, I mean, West Ham, I agree. I mean, obviously they got fucking destroyed by City and Liverpool, and that will sway the numbers a lot against them. But, you know, they concede a goal and XG and everything to Bournemouth, Luton, Chef U. I mean, Chef U, they kept it clean. They still concede 16 shots and over an XG to the worst fucking team maybe in the last 10 years. Yeah. You know, so, don't know. I expect Villa to score.
Yeah, I still put him below Bowen. I would also just not sell Foden. I would still just hold Foden. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, that's almost a different part of the question.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that move at all right now.
Starting game week 10, the Villa run is just, oh my God, right? Because they've been so good against bad teams. Yeah. They score so many goals. They have home Luton, at NFO, home Fulham, at Spurs, at Bournemouth. I mean, you confidently are starting like Ali and Diaby in all of those games and cash.
Yeah.
Grandbrother said, is trips essential yet? Our favorite word, essential.
It is getting very aggravating.
Yeah, I mean, he should be in every team, if that's what the question is. You know, he should be in every team.
Yeah. I mean, he just gets points so regularly, and it's difficult to get regular points in defense. So,
yeah.
You know, who are you sacrificing? You know, it's probably worth it to get him in. You know, you just pick your least favorite guy or whatever, and, you know. Yeah, I mean, we're at that point, honestly, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I need a...
And it's also the vibes. It's like, everything's just going right for Newcastle also. I mean, not getting a red card in the 15th minute when you should. You know, I mean, beating Paris, he's getting... They concede early, it doesn't matter. He still gets bonus points and an assist. They concede late, you know, I mean, he's still getting points.
They're also just good. I think, you know, yeah, back good. To the Pryor's question... Me and you and a lot of people were like, I don't know. Like, are they going to be this? They're just good. You know, like whether they're as good as last year or slightly worse or slightly better, whatever.
They're just good.
They're good. They're a good team. They're keeping cleans in the games they should. They're beating the teams that they should. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. And the thing that you like too about trips is, you know, when they have tough fixtures, these aren't up and down affairs. I mean, they're just like fouls, fucking bullshit, like all this dumb shit. They try to prevent the game from happening. And that, you know, you like that, you know, because then you do still have the outside chance of, you know, maybe it's only like a 20-25% or in the good against the top six. Yeah. You know, that's what you like to see, you know, from your defenders too. So like home Arsenal, they can clean that easily. That wouldn't be surprising at all to me.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it does.
There's no game that it would be surprising, really, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like, you know, it makes sense to just pick an attacker, sacrifice him, and just put trips in, you know, and just stop trying to faff about without him.
Faffing, everyone.
It seems like big faff energy, honestly.
Yeah, it's big faff energy. Yeah, I really want him. I just, it's fucking just hard to
home
get him.
Home Palace? Oh my God.
It's so hard to get him. Home Palace, he could have triple digit crosses in that game.
Holy shit, dude. Home Palace, insanely good.
Yeah. Anything else we should talk about? I mean, it's an international break, so a lot of this, you know, I don't know. We're going to have to change our tune on Thursday. Oh, this guy's hurt. This guy's hurt. This guy's getting back at 5 a.m. on Thursday. Yeah. He's not going to play, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, I think we're good. I mean, yeah, you know, we're just chilling for the next couple of weeks and waiting to see who comes back and in what kind of condition, if at all. See if Anthony never has some new, you know, rape allegations from other continents. You never know what could happen.
He's racking them up.
Racking them up, baby.
I can't believe he's just on the pitch. I don't understand how can you A not leads to that? B.
He's employed Manchester United. Actively trying to get Mason Greenwood back on the pitch. I mean, what this team?
True.
This team has literally no moral compass. They don't have one. It's not in the building. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's kind of weird in hindsight that they got rid of Ronaldo. And Ten Hag probably has his poster in his room. It's like, what a legend.
I was fucking walking on Saturday like to this little farmer's market. It was next to like a kid's.
Move closer, I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. There's like ASO games going on.
Oh, okay.
And I just saw this little kid like practicing the Ronaldo spin and like his dad watching him. And I'm just like, what? These people should die. Like, who is this dad? Like, this dad needs to be killed. Like, how can you encourage such behavior? And it was just a disgusting thing.
Terrible.
That's shaking terrible. My head to myself. Just
SMH.
SMHing my whole
SMH, dude.
SMHing
shaking my damn head.
The whole walk alongside the field. Yeah.
Oh my God. On a brighter note, we got 3 new Patreon signups this week.
Hey,
see you in Discord. Chase Kendall, Jason Steenkamp, and then this person inputted their name as Friendly Mates Love Slapping Asses. So good job by you. Slap the ass, get in there.
That person wants to be anonymous.
Yeah.
Anonymous you shall be.
Yeah. You successfully did it. Successfully.
You've anonymized yourself.
I think that's it, dude. Any last words?
I'll see you in many days, tomorrow.
In 10 days.
Burn.
Check us out at fmlmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlmfield. Support us at fmlmfield.com/fmlm. Subscribe and be a
Sports Social Podcast Network.